please stand with me? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. These are the words of our Lord. You may be seated.
A beautiful tie I have on and hidden. And you may see it. You may see it after the service. This is a great season of the year, and we're glad you're here today. Let us celebrate as we pray together. Lord God, thank you for this time of worship, for this time to take in all the goodness and wonder and love of this season. Now, as we gather in your name, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, today I picked out a passage of scripture some of you may not equate with the nativity story, with the Christmas story at all. I mean, in John's gospel, when you take a look at the account which was read for you this morning, no angels descend from the sky with signs of peace or songs of hope. Oh, we really love those kinds of things, though, and we find it in the Gospel of Luke, when Luke says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace and goodwill among all whom he favors. In today's lesson, if you look at it closely, no shepherds leave flocks behind to rush across the Bethlehem fields to see what had been foretold to them. Whoa, no shepherds at all. And when you look at today's scripture, you don't find any reference to wise men, any reference to the Magi traveling across the landscape, following the movement of stars to discern and search out a new king. But I love so much the question that they raise for us, the question, an interesting question, where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage. Where is the king of the Jews? The other thing you'll notice right away when you take a look at this passage of scripture, there's no Mary and no Joseph in this story at all. It doesn't even tell us the wonderful part of the story when Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem. And you know the account according to Luke's gospel. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there wasn't any other room for them. What we get in John's gospel is a very simple statement. In the beginning was the Word, John's term for his friend Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. He was in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and in him is a light that shines in the darkness, and John says the darkness has never put it out. With Jesus, there is a new creation, and this creation comes alive for us when we slip down a little bit in that first chapter of John and take a look at verse 14, and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is the Christmas story. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It means just what we think it means. And I love the strong words of the theologian N.T. Wright, Tom Wright. And he says this, is so great. Jesus exploded into the life of ancient Israel. I like that. Not just was born. Jesus exploded into the life of ancient Israel. The life of the whole world, in fact. Not as a teacher of timeless truth, nor as a great moral example, but as the one through whose life, death, and resurrection God's rescue operation was put into effect and the cosmos turned a great corner at last. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what John's gospel is all about. Until that wonderful moment on the Christmas stage. Everyone had referred to God before as above. You know how we pray very often. Yes, we pray this way, but we also pray this way. Because why? We always look above for God. And in the past, they looked above to see God. From above, John professes, God had created the universe and human life. We look up to God. He created it all, the universe and human life. God had spoken to Israel through the law and the prophets. Ah, God is wise and omniscient. And from burning bushes and leading clouds, God was always up there, out there. And even today, very often we talk of heaven and we talk of God, and it's always out there, up there, somewhere else. Even God's imminence in the Ark of the Covenant had a strong sense of separation about it, characterized by dire consequences if anyone dare touch the Ark of the Covenant. God was always somewhere mysterious, distant, out there, beyond our reach. And once the exile came and the Ark disappeared, John perceives an extraordinary turn of events. And while God had remained wrapped up in mystery for decades and decades and years and centuries, fully known only by the Word, John says, and now the Word became flesh. What's that? The Word became flesh. And the old gospel song really captures it for us. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That's it. The Word is now here. It's not up there. It's not out there. It's not mysterious. It's here. And God came close and wanted a relationship with you and with me. And he accomplished it through the birth of a baby. God wanted a relationship with you and with me. And it was done through the gift of a baby. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And his name, what will we call him? What is his name? Jesus. Emmanuel. God with us. That's it. God with us. Not out there. Not just the Word, but the Word made flesh. Perhaps that's why we wrap up this season with so much excitement. I don't know about you, but I love it all. I love trees, and I love the lights, and I love poinsettias, and I love gifts, and I love baked ham, and I love everything associated with Christmas. I love it all. There's something incredibly tangible about God's gift that can teach us so much about the way we give this Christmas and every Christmas. A lesson that God has for us. Like God's gift to us, our giving has to be more than simply about stuff. Stuff. I'm talking about ties and CDs. I'm talking about sweaters that are too large and computer games. I'm talking about the real practical gifts that we give, like mixers and sewing machines. We love to get those for Christmas. It must be something more than just about jewelry and clothing. It must be about keeping and building a relationship with the people we love. The first gift given to us was a gift building a relationship between God and us. Could it be then that the gifts that we give to one another really are about building a relationship? A gift says, what, I care for you, I love you, I need you for my life to be complete. That's what giving is all about. And receiving is all about. It's about relationship. It's not about stuff. And it's not about how many presents are under the tree. By the way, there aren't any under our tree at this moment in time. Our world is increasingly fractured. And we need to hear another voice and to see another face and to hold another hand and to be present to each other, just as God's gift to us is present to us throughout our lives. We need to be reminded again and again that we're not alone. A relationship has been established between God and us, and we have the opportunity to establish that relationship to one another at Christmas. In the gifts that we give. Giving from the heart has the potential of touching another life in ways beyond our imagination. I have some scenarios just for the fun of it. And the one I read I thought was so cool and so different. A young man buys and wraps up a gift for his dad. You know, that all makes sense. This is, yes, a young adult male who wraps up a gift and gives it to his dad. And you might say, well, now what is the gift? And I'll tell you this, it's very simple. It's a 1-pound bag of coffee beans. Why not? I never thought of that when I was a kid. My father was still alive. What a gift it would be. And you might say, well, that's an odd gift, isn't it? Well, it is, but there was a little note attached to it. Dad. I want to sit down with you during the weeks ahead and have coffee with you. I'd like to just have an opportunity to know more about the story of your life and the story of mine as we talk and share coffee together. So this is a special pound of coffee, only to be used when we have the opportunity over the days and weeks ahead to sit down together and talk. I wish I had more times like that with my father. He died 1 month before he was 90 years of age. And to be honest with you, I think some of the most memorable and meaningful conversations we had were just before he died. Why do we wait so long to have that cup of coffee? The gift is given to build relationships, just like the gift given to us by God in the birth of a baby. Well, what about the mom who buys her daughter, you've done this before, I'm sure, buys a daughter that precious little tea set. Oh, my gosh. You know, I saw that in the store the other day, and it was so neat. Jenny will love it. And I'm just going to buy that tea set, and she'll appreciate it. And she opens it for Christmas. Oh, and it's so wonderful. And she's so excited. The little cups and the little saucers, something to break at some point in time. But right now, it's a most beautiful gift. And Mother says after the season is over, why don't you take your tea set? And you and your dollies pretend you're having tea. Why doesn't Mother say, sweetie, let's have tea together. And sit at the table and sip tea out of those little cups. And make a memory for both the child and the mother. Neither will ever forget. And it's all about building a relationship. It's not about the gift. It's about something unique and magical that we need in our lives from one another. That's what this season is really all about. Greg Holder, who is the pastor of Windsor Crossing Church in St. Louis, a fast-growing church, shares his personal account. And I'd like to share it with you. It occurred on Christmas Day. Greg and Robin, his wife, and their two girls were gathered around a tree like all of us do at Christmas time. It is so exciting to get up at 3:30 in the morning and come out there and be ready for Santa. Well, we used to always say, now, look, kids, I checked it out, and I don't believe Santa has arrived as yet. I think he'll be here somewhere between 9 and 10, so go back to bed. No, we could never get away with that, I guarantee you. Well, it was one of these special occasions around the tree. And it just so happened that Robin was going to open one of her gifts first. And so Greg and the two kids just stood back a little bit in the background as Mom opened the first gift and some pictures were taken. But as Robin was about to open the gift, she noticed a little note on the top, and she saw that the gift was from her mother. Her father had passed away not too long before Christmas. And there was a note to be read, and the note read like this. Robin opened the note. She gasped at first. And then Greg said, she just sort of quietly cried to herself as she read the note from Mother. I wanted to make something that reminded you of your dad. It is a pillow made out of some of his ties. I hope you like it. Still crying, she opened the box and took out the pillow made of her father's ties. And the crying became more intense as she held the pillow up to her and said, "Oh, Mother, if you only knew, I can still smell his cologne." I can still smell its cologne. If you look closely at the scene, you come to grips with the fact right away, this is not a story about a pillow. This is a story about a relationship between a father and a daughter that lasts forever once it's established. But we don't always establish it. We don't take the time to do what Christmas is all about. Establishing a relationship, a loving, caring relationship with one another. At the front of the story of Christmas is a God who loves us, who cherishes us, and feels incomplete without a relationship with us. God wanted it so badly, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. A love relationship that goes beyond our wildest imagination that any father could see his son mature and at a very early age die upon a cross for all with whom he wanted to establish a relationship. So this year I want you to give differently than you've given last year. Make it count for something rather than just putting it under the tree. Add a special note to it. Dear, I know you've always wanted this, and I give it to you this year with an awful lot of love. Do something a little bit more to make that gift come alive. Give outrageously. Think of the wildest, most ridiculous thing, like a tie with tulips on it. Why? Because you love someone so much. You love them so much, you don't give them just what they want, you give them what they need to build that relationship between you two, between members of the family. Give from the heart, not from the pocketbook. And receive the gift God gave you and share it with the ones you love and the world. Flocks were sleeping, shepherds keeping. Vigil till the morning new, saw the glory, heard the story, tidings of a gospel true. Thus rejoicing, free from sorrow, praises voicing, greet the morrow. Christ the babe was born for you. Amen.